So one mindset that we're going to be considering today is this mindset here. Point A, the mindset of the world around us, the mindset that doesn't trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, where decisions are based on what people decide for themselves. Although there's plenty of good things about many of these people, the position we're thinking about today is where people don't trust in the Lord Jesus. Instead, they have their self at the center. And as they're carried along with the rest of the world and the powers and influences that are at work in it, we're going to call that position A. And it's a very powerful and influential position in the world, isn't it? Because that's how the majority of people live, without any reference, without any thought towards Jesus. It's a position that's hard for us not to get caught up in ourselves, because it's so influential. There's so many people that live this way without reference to Jesus. But there's also another position to consider today as well, and that's the position of God. So point B over here, God. God the Father and Jesus, his son, who makes the Father known. Just consider how the mindset of God is completely different from the mindset of the world. Think about the priorities of God, the concerns of God, the basis for God's actions. We're told of Jesus, he came full of grace and truth. We're told that Jesus was the completely righteous one, the one who always lived in the right way. He served others. He was merciful. He was forgiving. He was sacrificial. He was rich in kindness. He was immeasurably loving. He still is, isn't he? He's still all these things. Jesus' priority was his Father's glory. Even at a surface level, you can see how different the mindset of Jesus is to the mindset of the world, can't you? The priorities, the concerns, the things that the world goes after is completely different to the character of God. The question we're going to be considering today is, how can a person go from position A to position B? What causes that change in thinking and living, so that we're no longer conforming to the world's thinking, but increasingly becoming like God in the way we think and in the way we act? How can we leave our old way of thinking and living and become more and more like God himself? Listen out for that as we turn to read our passage now. We're going to read Ephesians 4, verse 17 to chapter 5, verse 2. So Theo and boys, can you listen while we read the Bible? And then you'll be able to fill in the answers, okay? So can you see the little 17, Theo? So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up, according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. We live in a world, we live in a society that prides itself on how progressive it is, doesn't it? Advances in technology, advances in medicine, but also advances in thought. Breaking away from mindsets that once confined us or controlled us or restricted people. There's a sense of pride from being enlightened, to be able to think freely, to choose for ourselves what is right and wrong, what is true and false. And that's not something new. Each successive generation prides itself on how they're different from the previous generations that came before them. But Paul begins in this passage by exposing what's actually true about the world and any generation, any society that we live in that rejects Jesus. Just look again at how it's described in chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. He writes, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts." Due to the hardening of their hearts. Paul there is describing the Gentiles, the people amongst whom the Ephesians used to live. Before they became Christians, this is the group of people they were a part of. This is the way that they were thinking. This is the way that the whole society living around them is defined. We've already seen in Ephesians, in Acts 19, what the Ephesians prided themselves on, haven't we? Acts 19 tells us that Ephesus was the home of the great god, the false god, Artemis. They were a great city. They were a regional power. It had a lecture hall. No doubt it was the home of lots of philosophers, deep thinkers. There were lots for the Ephesians to be proud of in their thinking. But Paul exposes the true nature of the Gentiles' thinking, of their progress, any thinking that's detached from Christ. He says it's futile. It's darkened. They're ignorant. And did you see as well what that mindset led to in verse 19? Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And they are full of greed, or they are greedy for impurity. Futile, darkened, ignorant thinking that led to sensuality, that led to being greedy to do all kinds of impurity. That's what characterized the Ephesian society these believers were living amongst. But it all could also describe our society today, couldn't it? Just think about all those loud voices that promise freedom and progress away from what God says. Think about all the arguments that we hear from the leading intellectuals that sound so appealing. That show us or tell us to go away from God. The groundswell of public opinion that's turning against God and his word and what the church upholds. Progressive thinking. But all that impure behavior that it leads to, doing what's right in our own eyes. And when that's the way that the majority of the world lives around us, it's really hard to resist, isn't it? It's very hard to stand against such loud, powerful, and persuasive voices. But Paul begins by showing us the true nature of that kind of thinking, of that kind of life. It's futile, it's dead, it's darkened, it's ignorant, and it leads to impurity. But as well as showing us the true nature of the Gentiles' thinking, the Gentiles' so-called progress, he shows us too that it's completely incompatible with learning about Jesus. Just have a look at how he goes on in verses 20 and 21. He writes, "That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus." The Ephesians have learned something far better, entirely different to what the Gentiles around them have learned and based their lives on. You see the words that describe it there in verses 20 and 21? They've learned something, they've heard something, they've been taught something. It's all about Jesus. The Ephesians came to learn to know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. That has become the decisive moment in the Ephesians' lives. When they came to know the truth that Jesus alone is seated above all the thrones and powers, that he alone is the source of all blessing, that he alone reconciles us to God. He's the one that secures our redemption, pays the price for our sin. He alone is the one to whom we now belong. We are part of his body. Why is this learning of Christ the contrast to this futile thinking, this impure living that the Gentiles around them live in? Because learning of Christ, accepting the truth about Jesus, is the decisive point when things change from being in category A and progress towards being like God as well. Learning of Jesus changes everything. Learning of Jesus changes everything. And we find the changes that learning of Jesus brings in verses 22 to 24. Just have a look at them there. "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." The changes that learning of Christ bring are taking off your old self, being renewed in our minds, and putting on your new self. Taking off and putting on is what follows in verses 25 to 32. But the change begins with our minds. Have a look at verse 23. "To be made new in the attitude, the spirit of our minds." It's obvious there's naturally a problem with our minds, isn't it? Verses 17 and 19 tell us that our minds were futile, darkened, they were hardened. A bit like if you get a patch of hard skin, a callus on your foot, you can't feel through that patch of hard skin. That's what it's like when our minds are darkened, when they become hard. There's no sensitivity to God in our minds anymore. And minds like this can't just start working again. They need to be made new. I don't know if you've seen the repair shop on television. I've sometimes seen it with Phil. I don't really watch it myself. But sometimes you'll come across an item that the person is fixing and they recognize, they open it up, they look inside, they see that the mechanism inside can't be fixed. It needs to be completely renewed. And that's what they go on to do. That's what it's like with our minds, isn't it? Our minds are so broken. They can't just be tweaked. They need to be renewed completely. It's the same that we see here in Ephesians. Just flip back with me for a moment to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, see what we discover about our minds in Romans. Oh, sorry. Yeah, of course, you got me. I'll read it for you, don't worry. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says this. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Our natural minds are hostile to God. And then have a look at, or let me tell you, what Paul goes on to write in Romans 12, verse 2, talking about our minds again. He says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Naturally, our minds are hostile to God. Paul says they need to be renewed so that we can live in God's ways. The first change in this whole process of becoming more like God is for our minds to be renewed. How does that happen? Well, we've seen it already a little bit in Ephesians. Do you remember chapter 4, verses 11 and 12? So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. And then down in verse 15, this is the whole body working together. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Change comes as God's word is ministered to us. Ministered to us through the pastors and evangelists and teachers. Ministered to us by each other as we speak the truth in love to each other. Change comes, that renewing of our mind comes through hearing God's word. It's what reorientates us away from this futile thinking to living a godly life. But there'll always be a battle for our minds, won't there? Just think about all the different voices you hear every day. I'm going to try and draw. That's a brain. Can you tell that? Okay, just think, what are the different voices? No need to be so skeptical, guys. You can be encouraging. What are the different voices that we hear day by day from the world around us? What do our minds pick up on? Yeah. How do you hear that, or where do you hear that from? Yeah, people seem okay. That's the thoughts we can pick up, isn't it? What other voices do we hear, pick up on from society around us that push us away from God and living in his ways?
Yeah. The enemy.
What did you say, Dipti? Sorry?
The enemy.
The enemy, yeah. Satan's lies. Yeah. Other things that it's easy to take into our mind that push us away from God?
Let your feelings trump everything else.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Maybe things that we watch on TV, hear on the radio, social media. It's full of self-promotion, isn't it, really? Social media. Sorry?
I get what you mean, though. You're aware of the things that are
involved. Yeah, those kind of voices that can shape our thinking. that we take in without perhaps realizing. Yeah.
As well, it's like when you find the work, well, obviously work is in what you have and what you do.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So what society values?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
What do you mean?
Just that, you know, you're in your house and especially car and, you know, what job you have or whatever your measure of success is.
Yeah, sure, okay. Yeah, yeah, great. Thank you. There's all these things, aren't there, day by day, that we're hearing, that we're taking into our minds, perhaps sometimes without even realizing it. Our thinking is bombarded. Our minds are swayed by all these things that we hear from the world that we live in. It shows how vital it is to let God's word be the loudest voice, doesn't it? Over and against all these things, the biggest thing that needs to be shaping our minds. Can you see it? It's just gone slightly on. I've got a D in the GCSE art. Sorry? God's word has got to be the loudest thing that speaks into our minds, hasn't it? The thing that shapes and orientates our minds. It shows the importance of each day turning to God's word, meditating on it, encouraging each other in the truths of God's word that speak louder, more clearly. They speak the truth against what we're taking in from the society we live in. We've already seen chapter 4, verse 15, haven't we? Speaking the truth in love. Just have a look at chapter 5, verse 19. Another thing that we can do for each other, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Another way of spurring each other on to take in God's word. Think about the songs that we listen to. Maybe memorize different portions of scripture. Meditate, keep thinking about the things that we've taken in from God's word. Let God's word be the loudest voice in your life, so that our minds are renewed. Learning the truth of Christ changes everything. It leads to the renewing of our minds. It leads from that futile thinking over here to becoming more like God. It starts with the renewing of our minds. But the renewing of our minds isn't something that just stays as a change that's inside of us. If you look back to verses 22 to 24, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The taking off of our old self, the putting on of our new selves, is to be driven by this renewed mind. Taking off what was corrupted, incompatible with the new way of life that we now have. And that's what the rest of the verses tell us about. There's a series of contrasts in the rest of the verses that show us what we're to put off and tell us to what we put on instead. Theo, can you come and help me for a minute, please? So turn around. Yeah. So imagine that Theo is our old self. Come back. No. Can I help you if you're going to do it sensibly?
Please, can we back to the tip of my neck?
No. There we go. So turn around. This is what our old self was like. What's the first thing we're told we're to be taking off? So verse 25. What's the first thing we should be taking off, and what's the new thing we should be putting on in its place? Falsehood. Yeah, can you see falsehood there? So we take falsehood off. And what do we put on instead? Truth. Yeah, honesty. The church should be marked by honesty, speaking the truth to each other, being clear in how we talk with each other and how we explain things. Honesty replaces falsehood. What's the next thing we're to take off? Anger. Anger, there you go. And what's to replace anger? Well, that's part of it, but yeah, address conflict. Do not let the sun go down whilst you're angry. It doesn't say don't be angry. There is a place for anger, isn't there? There's a place for right anger. Very often our anger isn't right. Very often it is sinful. But when there is anger, we're to address those conflicts with each other. We are to be honest. We're to address conflict. What's the next thing we're to take off from our old self? Stealing. Brilliant. What are we to replace stealing with? Giving. Yeah, that's right. Use our hands to share, to do something useful with our hands rather than stealing. I'm not quite sure why stealing was pointed out here. I guess it seems as though stealing isn't a common problem to each of us, is it? But maybe it's how we regard each other's things. Maybe there was a specific problem in Ephesus with stealing. But we're to use our hands to serve others, to share, to give, rather than to grasp things for ourselves. What's the next thing that we're to take off? Sorry, Ellie? I didn't. That one.
Unwholesome
talk. Yeah, unwholesome talk. Thank you. Unwholesome talk. And what replaces unwholesome talk? Yeah, that's right. Talk that builds others up. Being wise in how we speak to each other. Using our voices to speak kindly to others, to build others up. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Let me just read those for us. Proverbs 12, verse 18 says, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. We're to have truthful lips that build others up. Next thing to come off from our old self. Yeah, grieving the Holy Spirit. Acting in a way that is stubborn, that refuses to change, that keeps holding on to all these old ways of living. And what about the final one? What's the final thing that's come off? Yeah, turn around. Resentment, that bitterness. All those things listed at the end there. Well, what's to replace resentment and bitterness? Compassion. What does compassion mean, dear? Sort of, you can encourage others. It's loving others, being overwhelmed with that care and concern for others more than yourself. Okay, brilliant, thank you. You can go and sit down. You can take those off if you want. It's a very different set of clothes, isn't it, to our old self. The world, with their futile thinking, has no consistent commitment to these things, to honesty, doesn't know how to handle anger, deal with conflict. The world uses opportunities to gain things for themselves rather than to share with others. If you think about your workplace, perhaps, or the non-Christian friends around you, there's often a quickness to gossip, to put others down rather than to build others up. Why are Christians so different? What makes the difference? Learning of Christ changes everything. Learning of Christ changes everything. It teaches us to take off our old self, to be renewed in our minds and drives us to wear these new clothes. Verse 24 tells us we put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That's heading to point B, isn't it? Being like God in true righteousness and holiness. And wonderfully, we're not on our own in that journey. We've got each other, haven't we, to encourage us and spur us on along the way. But also just look at the final few verses of our chapter as well. Have a look at verses 32 to chapter 5, verse 2. Paul writes, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." If we ever find it hard to forgive each other, we're to think of how much God has forgiven us in Christ. If we ever find it too demanding, too costly to love each other, we're to think again of the extent of Christ's love for us. He gave himself up for us. We were thinking about that last week, weren't we? It's here again in chapter 5, verse 2. Jesus, in his love, gave himself up for us. Consider God's forgiveness to us in Jesus. Remember the extent of Jesus' love for us. Let that spur you on as we take off our old self and put on our new self. Learning Christ changes everything. Two final ways I think that will affect us day by day as we progress along this line, leaving our old way of life, leaving our old way of thinking and becoming more like God in true righteousness and holiness. The first thing I think that should lead us to expect in our lives is that repentance will increase. Repentance will increase. Children, who knows, how do we often describe what repentance is? Yeah, go on then.
Turning away from something you really want.
Sort of, yeah. It's stopping, first of all, isn't it? Realizing you're going the wrong direction, turning around and going back in God's direction. But we could equally describe repentance as this process as well, couldn't we? Of our minds being renewed, taking off our old self and putting on our new self. If we're serious about becoming more like God, if we're serious about increasing in holiness and righteousness, then repentance must be a daily part of our lives, that constant taking off and putting on. If we're serious about becoming more like God, repentance will increase. But as repentance increases, here's the second thing to expect. Fitting in will decrease. Fitting in will decrease. We saw at the beginning, didn't we, all those different things that characterize the mindset of the people around us. That futile thinking, those darkened thoughts, that lack of understanding. If our mind is renewed, we'll increasingly hold views that the world will think are completely stupid, are completely alien to them. We'll be thinking and living in a completely countercultural way. We'll live out our new lives and we'll be very different from the peers around us. If our new self is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, it's clear that we'll fit into this world less and we'll be more suited to our heavenly home. Be prepared to stand out. Be prepared to fit in less. If you are fitting in, if there's no questions asked, if there's no obvious difference observed, where's the problem? What aren't you taking off? Where are we still living with our old mindset? Learning of Christ changes everything. The direction of our life, the way we fit, the way we don't fit into society around us. We began by thinking, what causes that change in thinking and living? To no longer conform to the world, but to become more and more like God himself. How we leave that old way of thinking and have our minds renewed to become like God. You see how it comes about now? By learning of Christ. Coming to know the truth about Jesus is the moment that changes everything. It's the moment we leave the old way of living and start moving, start heading towards becoming like Christ. It happens as our minds are renewed. We take off our old self and we put on the new self. Let's pray and ask God to help us to continue to become more like him. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought the true message about Jesus to us. Thank you for those moments or the specific point, perhaps in some cases, where we learned the life-changing news of Jesus. The news that changed everything. The news that dealt with our guilt and gave us life and hope and a future. Father, as those who have learned of Jesus, please you help us not to be duped, not to be led astray by the apparent wisdom and strength of the thinking of the world around us. All the loud voices, the popular opinion, all the things that our minds subtly take in day by day. Help us not to be swayed by the mindset of the world, but instead to have our minds increasingly renewed as you work in us. And Father, as our minds are renewed, please do help us day by day to take off our old self, to put on our new self. Please do help us to increase in repentance and to decrease in fitting in with the world around us. Help us to live and think differently and empower us by your Spirit for that. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a song that puts all of that to music. May the mind of Christ my Saviour. I can't remember what the words are, but it's that whole thing of our minds being renewed by knowing Jesus, by learning of Christ. Let's sing that together.